telling all of Israel. You notice this is a song of ascents, one of the ones that I believe that when they would come to Jerusalem, I believe, they would say these together, or when they were going somewhere. So that it's a lesson that adults need to learn. So there is responsibility. See, that when we pick on younger generations, say, grow up, you're saying take responsibility. Here we're saying for all of us, there's something childlike in how we're supposed to be responding under God. And you're calling them back to that, calling, oh, Israel, hope in the Lord. Anything else? Just quick thoughts, Jim? All right. Yeah. I was just reading an article this morning about only 3 months behind in World Magazine, maybe four. And but it was talking about how it was going, looking at 2021 in review. It's amazing. My spirit just gets like wound up just looking at all these pictures as they go through the whole year. It's just like everything was conflict and opinions and death and fighting. But it was saying, what's your take on the news? And they said, you know, if you withdraw all the way, that you're not honoring God. God widens our world. On the other side, if you're obsessing on it, and I close my eyes, got to think about myself, let alone you, very few people will go, I'm obsessing, right? I'm addicted. Very, very few of us will say it. But they're saying if we're addicted, then we're too dependent on the happenings, and we are acting as king as all of our emotions. Well, they should have. Why didn't they? What do I need to do to protect myself? And here, when you're saying, start with prayer, whatever. Here. As he comes here and says, I've quieted my soul, which, remember, the lost art of meditation. Now looking to empty our minds, we're looking to redirect our minds, to put the pieces back in the right order. Anything else? Psalm 131. We need these pieces as we talk about culture. But we're going to learn here. Our first VBS song. We're going to sing it in the morning worship, so learn it with me here.
So, Father, help us, like the psalmist, to still and quiet our souls. Thank you, a picture of a contented child. Thank you, Father, for one that is fed, and is therefore content, full, safe. Would you help us, Father? It's not a safe world. Even our own thoughts at times aren't safe. And so, Father, would you help more than we do make our choices, but we start recognizing that what you call us to sometimes seems so incredulous, impossible. Or it seems dependent on us to create the environment to make it happen. And sometimes we can, but sometimes we can't. Thank you, Father, for something that's high enough, that's deep enough, that it can penetrate and reign over any circumstance in our heart or outside. Now, while we say that, we have to learn that. We're the ones like children that I'm just going to have to admit my soul is not quiet. This world is not okay, and I can't do anything about all of it. On the other side, to follow you and to be quiet is then to finally free us to be able to do something about it. Would you help us, Father? We're at different sides of the mountain. We have different pieces that heaven would say show a strong, a weak faith. Would you help us, Lord? Help us to be careful with your word, careful with each other. Would you accomplish your purposes that go beyond each one's here, that go beyond mine? People in here would be glad if your purposes instead of mine were carried out. Would you help us all, Father? Help us to use the tools you've given us, including this time together with the people of God in a led study underneath the foundation of your word. We pray for our activities today. We come in Jesus' name. Amen.
There we go. Okay. Here's where we're going. Keep thinking about this. This is everything I'm doing. As I talk with Dad, talk with Tim, as we talk with you guys, I'm thinking about what's going on. It can't be just you and me and us and each other. There's big things going on around us. We don't all have time to read church history. We don't all have time to hear everybody's experiences. Our experiences aren't the extent of reality, all of them. So what do we got to do? We got to shift our focus from personal maturity. We can't even agree on what growing is. And if we don't want just the churches to reflect our language of growing, but we want heaven's language, we've got to go away from just saying, I need to grow. You will if you have his spirit inside you. And build healthy churches. Why? Church is God's idea. It's like the family, the government. He puts people together that go beyond all the things we look for often in a perfect church. We must shift our focus from personal maturity and growth to building healthy churches bigger than us. And to get there, we must focus on the roots, not merely the fruits. Saying, okay, fine, whatever you want to think, what are the things that absolutely every Christian needs to be doing individually and then together? This list is an attempt to head in that direction. It isn't inspired, it's perspired. But start off of that and say, okay, fine, maybe I shift this one a little bit. Maybe, you know, I was thinking about that with Mark Dever, right? He's known for 9 marks of a healthy church. Well, you know how many times you hear them say, why was it 9 and not 10? Why did you include that mark and not that? Well, you have to have 9 marks to be able to think maybe it should have been 8, or maybe it should have been 11, or they shifted certain ones. Well, the same here. What are we doing? This is where we're heading. How would these live? But then we said, okay, as we work through these pieces here, what would it look like to build a church or to head in the direction? Not the results, not the fruits, but you want to end up with godly fruits. So you have to start with the right roots when you're thinking of, oh, well, what should our services look like in here? Okay? What should, I got rid of it in my notes here. Let me just look here. Oh, here it is. Relationships. Relationships look for if they're built with godly roots. Not what you find, not the people you connect with, not the people you feel safe with, but building relationships that are tied around God and his purposes. What would growth look like? And now we've come to culture. So we talked about what came to mind when we thought about the word culture. And then last week we took a little look at 1 Peter 2. And that helped us in our discussions here. We said, okay, what would need to be lifted up and allowed if we want to build healthy churches with strong roots in how we relate to culture? We talked about that, okay? We could go further here, but I'd like to go on to this question here. What is the culture value and what are the corresponding biblical values? In fact, I ran out of time. I was going to have Nicole make 2 boxes for me here. I don't know how you can do this, Faith, something. of what is the culture value, what are the corresponding biblical values, even if it's two columns, left and right. Let's see what we can do. I'm sorry, girls. Let's think on this, okay? So what is our culture value or say we have to have? Okay? What's becoming obvious? Or what do you feel? Whether it's always been there, or that is different. If you want, you give the biblical alternative, but sit in it just a little bit here. Because if you don't sit in it, we quickly sew it up and get to where we are. Okay? You know what I mean? We go, culture wants this, God says this, therefore we should do this, so that's why I don't like what we're doing now. You know, you immediately solve the whole puzzle. Sit down here. Think, what is our culture value? Okay, Sandy? Okay, here, let's say happy, I'm trying to think what goes along with happy. You know, fulfilled, you know, safe. Okay. So fulfilled, and then all right. Let's put that as a separate thing here. Okay. Let's say that you determine this. Okay. That's important. Those are two separate things because, you know, safe is important in God's things. He goes, you know, that all the verses that tell us he is our refuge and strength. So that means, you know, safe is fine. All right. So maybe that's it. So happy, fulfilled, safe. They value that. But you determine that. It's not I think you're safe or the baby is safe with the mother. All right. The father. It's no. I said this is safe. You go, no, it's not. I said you should be happy here. No, I'm not. Right? Okay, so, all right, there you go. There's some things. Jim? Okay, so we're going to say now, every one of these things has a spectrum, right? That's what gets us out of this. You realize that, right? Because you go, well, I'm not this, and then you see somebody on your other side, and of course you're left standing in the middle, right? So you got to think about this. That's why I said it's very, you know, few that will say, I'm obsessed with, right? You used to be able to say, I'm obsessed with chocolate, right? And you say, oh, well, that's just my obsession, my guilty obsession, right? We've come to the place, though, of being able to say, this, I get to determine what is a good obsession and what is a bad obsession. So that I is very important. Now is a relative term, too. Okay, fine, you need it now, but what happens if you don't get it now? Can you live? What is your quality of life if you don't get it now? Now it's not just a temper tantrum. It's now or else, I don't know. Let's just say can't. Let's just say can't. Can't live, can't function, can't think. Go ahead. What else? Culture. What's the culture value? I'm going to come back to the glorify God stuff, because I don't want us to sew it up. Let's, Sheldon, what do you think? What? Comfort. Comfort at all costs. Okay? So happy, faith, fulfilled, safe, now or else can't. Okay? Comfort. Okay? You know, how many times should we, you know, go out for fast food? You know, and depending where you are on the healthy eating thing, you'll say never. Okay, well then fine. If you're on the healthy eating side, what do you have for your environment to be comfort? That's what, you know, fast food, they call it comfort food, right? Even with the restaurants, right? So we splurged for my parents' 50th, right? For us, splurging was Cheesecake Factory. But you know what? A lot of people that scoff that place go, oh, it's just all comfort food, right? Well, it's expensive comfort food. Expensive comfort food, okay? You know, well, if you want fine dining, you go to the place where they put scribble with the sauce on most of the plate and give you a little bit of this, right? And you pay $200. There's fine dining, right? But comfort food, so meaning, please don't get into that. It's like, I don't eat any donuts. I'm tough. I'm rugged. I eat grass. Okay, but somewhere else in your life, you're seeking comfort. What does that look like for you? So we're saying comfort, like comfortable. Remember what I've said. I felt like, as a pastor, it's moved towards, I'm a hospice care provider. That's what I'm thinking about. Hospice, you're thinking, well, you're going to die. Fine. You want a milkshake? Fine. Here's your milkshake. You want a blanket? Fine. You want it colder? Fine. Anything you want. We're just here to make it better because you're going to die. Now, if you keep living, you stop being king or queen, right? But if you're going to die, you can have it, okay? Well, that's what I feel as a pastor. It's like, well, I ain't going to stay here. I don't know. It depends if you're a good pastor, if the people are good. I don't know. Haven't decided yet. I'm kind of in and out. But, okay, can we get you this? Can we get you this? Oh, just stop worrying about it. Okay, fine. We're just chill in here. We're just chill. See, it's responding to people's comfort levels. Culture. Cheryl. Okay. All right, you remember, we're not all going to read it. I want one person in here to read Carl Truman's The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self. The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self. One person here, I'm hoping, will read that and will talk to us about it. But I'm just going to use his term, expressive individualism. It's not just you determine, but expressive individualism. We're going to come back and get that side later. Okay? So, all right. So I need to be free to be able to be me. Not just I determine, but I mean, that has to live. Because you said I could do it, but I need room to be able to do my, you know, gymnastics in the church. Right? Remember I told you that was the weirdest thing about, you know, 15 years ago. I went to a church, they were standing and singing Shout to the Lord, and remember? Told you this. All of a sudden, a 40-year-old came down in a ballerina tutu, or whatever you want to call it, came running down the aisle, right? Everybody else was just standing there, you know, some were into it, some were closed their eyes, however that works, you know. And all of a sudden, she came out of nowhere, tools down the front in that tutu, runs back and forth and is doing her thing on that song. Everybody else just kept singing. I was like, is this normal? It was like the same blah look on people. It was like, guys, you see what's happening? Right? Well, all right, so that's extreme, but what we're saying is, if this is what I'm feeling, then you're not letting it breathe, and if it doesn't breathe, I'm going to blow. Now, that's me. I'm loud. What does quiet people do when they can't express themselves, when they don't have the environment? So, our culture is saying, you have the right to not only decide, you have the right to not only decide, but you have the right to be able to express that. So boundaries. What else? Vanya.
Yeah,
Verse is that. The freedom. I cannot get that Ukrainian president out of my head every time I see the guy, right? You know, is the guy a liberal? Is he trustworthy? I don't know any of these things. You know, Yuri will have his opinion more than we do. They got stuff invested in there, okay? But it's like before we even get to all of that other stuff, I look at the guy and think, will this guy be alive in 2 years, right? What will he be reigning over, whatever you want to call that? Will he be over anything? What does his family life look like? All right? Does he have a garden? Okay? I just get weird, right? As you think, what did he get for Christmas last year? Maybe they don't do, I don't know. You guys know more than I do. I'm just looking at these things and thinking, every Ukrainian person I'm thinking something's changed. Before I could say, hey, that's a cool shirt. We have that. Wait, they don't have, We don't have that brand. Where'd they get that? This is so Ukrainian, right? McDonald's back in Russia, right? But not McDonald's. There's protesters coming in there saying, we want this back, right? They're wearing all their McDonald's gear and all that stuff, all right? We will give you a Big Mac. Okay, and this was proof that Russia is moving on. All 32 years of my life, there's been a McDonald's, and it's back. Russia is dominant. Okay, but the point, you know, Vanya's making is remember we've been talking on Wednesday nights about when things are quiet, then something can grow. When they're not quiet, you're thinking about other things. So I'm staring at these as walking dead people. I'm just wondering, it doesn't matter whether you have a college degree or not, who's milking the cow? Where'd you go to the bathroom? You're saying, stop being weird. No, it starts getting basic. Back to just where are you getting your food? You keep hearing all this grain is stocked up over there. I keep thinking Texas. That's all I can get in my head because I know nothing about geography. Ukraine, the size of Texas. I keep thinking they're blowing up. Where are these people going? Wait, Texas is big. Okay, so they go, and then they're going to this chemical plant. What's going to happen in that chemical plant? Right? All right, when we seem to not only be doing identity and self-discovery versus survival, we seem to be demanding that. If I cannot express and find who I am, then there's nothing worth living for. Right? We're not very good at being survivalists. Now, if forget about that, oh, fine, we're all going to die. No, that's a wimpy survivalist. Survivalist goes, we're going to live in any condition. What else? Culture. Darla. Right? Right. You thought of that? It's why homeschooling movement was not the silver bullet. But you know, part of the homeschooling movement moved toward apprenticeship again. Apprenticeship. We're going to go back to if your dad was a blacksmith, you're a blacksmith. 20 generations of blacksmiths, you know. You know. Your mom made babies, you're going to make babies. Wait, I can't make babies. What do I do? We'll help somebody else with their babies. No, that's not my role in life. Stop. And then see all these other, you know, sexist, all this other stuff comes. See, what we're looking for is the roots of all that. There it is. People are saying, I have choices. You're limiting my choices. And you go, wait, the Bible has. Yeah, fine. But you see, we're looking for the things that wind us all up before we come in and go, God says, and then we somehow build up every part of this the same way the world is. We just say, God says. All right? That's what we're going to try. We're trying to strip down. And honestly, we're going to have to say, we're going to have to live a lot longer with a lot of this stuff in us because that stuff changes slowly and it's in us more than we realize. Okay? Any other things? Darren, what are you thinking? Okay. The right to not be offended. I've been thinking a lot about this recently. Okay. You know, I had to work on forgiveness. You know that weird book, Forgiveness, the Power in Puzzles, it came out of my own search for looking for something that would help make sense of all the biblical passages because stuff happened and every means I had before of being able to get my heart right, your heart right, us work together, it wasn't working. Well, what that meant is, well, we could either help you to be feel not offended, or we could help me not to be offended. Do you realize that's some of the push from the front? I've told you the respect for preachers is gone. Why is the respect for preachers gone? Because the respect for the structure of the church is gone. What can a preacher do if there's no church around him, right? It's like up in my fort at home is the last piece of the first car Susie and I had. It's a steering wheel, right? I think that's the last piece everybody wants. Well, I don't know. You can do whatever you want. I got the wheel. I'm deciding where we're going. He's like, well, there's no car around me, but I got the wheel. I'm telling where we're going, right? And so you realize here, we say, I'm not going to be offended. I don't have to be in an environment. This is a toxic environment, right? And I started realizing, all right, wow. Well, in order to help you not be offended, at some point, it was like, do you realize I'm using all the leadership tools to help you feel like the climate is good? What happened to my convictions? Me, separate me from my position. What happened to me feeling offended? Somebody is going to have to absorb some of this stuff. You can't all not feel offended and all stand for something, right? Culture. What is our culture saying? Sandy?
I don't know how much this culture is giving about.
Right. It used to be financial, okay, now perhaps attention. That nine marks after Carl Truman wrote that book, and Carl Truman has gone from just being a church history professor at Westminster to now he's a whatever at Grove City College, but I'm hearing about him all over. People are starting to look for his input. Doesn't mean he's right, but the point is they're realizing there's something here beneath just flinging verses at each other, flinging opinions. They're saying we have to step back and see these patterns that whatever side of a debate we're on, we're all afflicted with, okay? So nine marks after he writes that book, then did their journal, right? Seminary schools do scholarly journals every quarter, every semester, once a year. Nine marks does one, I don't know, once or twice a year, and they did their whole journal, meant a whole bunch of experts writing a whole bunch of articles, and they said, okay, what does expressive individualism in the church look like? Their whole journal was on that. You can go find the PDF online about that. But thinking, when you said success used to be financial, so then we all looked how we get money and be established. We all still like money. I can't get out of my head, oh, you know, I couldn't believe in COVID. Remember when they took sports off the air? They started putting gaming sports on the air. We sat watching people with joysticks do NASCAR, right? I forget the term. Somebody's going to know what it is in here because that now we're watching them just play all the other games, all right? It's professional. Professional playing those games. Well, you go, even if you're good at those games, what does that have to do with reality? Yeah, the virtual world. We've been talking about real estate being sold in the virtual world, okay? That Broadway in the virtual world, it's expensive to get your advertising on there the same way as it is here, okay? But along with that, okay, I remember seeing a picture of the ghettos of South America somewhere. A whole bunch of guys that didn't have a lot of clothes, they're all ratty, right? There's slums all around, and they're all sitting on the ground with smartphones. Oh, man, it's coming to me. There was some game they were playing, but this game was tied to money, and they were all cleaning up on this, okay? And you go, well, there it is. They're trying to get money again. And they were saying, look at the popularity of this game, that they had nothing else, but they all had the technological ability to be able to master that. What's going on? Is our shift of success? Money's not enough. They want something else. What do people really want? All right, go ahead. Luke?
So if someone says, you know, I'm the best, the
I determine, I'm going to say limits and definitions. Okay? That's very important. Dave. Piggybacking. Okay. Okay. Right, right, right.
When I heard some of the commentators on it afterwards, Ben Shapiro is one of the guys I was.
Fine.
He said, this is insane because the whole point in the military, the whole point is we are all the same. We are one.
Right.
You get the same haircut.
Right,
the same
right.
Clothes, the same gun.
Right.
You have the same mission.
Right.
And all of your personal preferences.
You push to the side.
Matter.
Right.
And that's what builds a strong military.
Right. Right.
Be yourself.
Right.
Here, like that doesn't fit.
Right.
So he's saying this is insane. It's totally contrary to what actually makes a strong military or a strong mission of any kind.
So could you see, and all these, I'm not military minded, so all these medals of valor, right, they were all focused on what you did as part of the team, right? Now it could be they died yesterday, but they were the first bisexual, and you know what they went through to be able to have sex like that. Poor them. Wait. What about the mission? The team? The way, I don't care. Whatever you did in there, whether it was right or wrong, what did you do for the team? But now you're known for the other part. Okay? What are we known for? See, that's why we could start with where Sandy was going, she's right, glory of God. But see, again, I haven't been to a church where they say we're not here for the glory of God. They all say the glory of God, but you're going to have to strip down these pieces. Can we have a search at the door and say, no, leave that. Leave your opinion, leave your preferences, leave your whatever. God is coming in here, and he's giving an opinion. It's not just, let's all be quiet and have no opinions. God says, this is what's important. This is what you should be happy about. Stop crying. Cry for this. And you go, I'm out of here. Yeah, you just left God. I did not. See, there's a wound-up version of the results of not getting the culture stripped out of us. The point is not that I'm better than you or you're better than me. The point is there's one God, right? And I'm mixing our Timothy passage with Ephesians. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That's it. There should be something that is the same about all Christians. Could you tell me what that is? How about humility? You think we all have humility? What is it? We're going to talk about that. I'm going to mention that this morning. You want to talk about circumcision? I don't know what Dad's going to talk about with that. How long do you want to talk about circumcision? I even read in the Holocaust, when they were mocking the Jews, one of the teachers pulled a boy's pants down and says, this is what circumcision looks like. But do you realize it wasn't a thing to be profane? It wasn't to be perverted. Somehow there was an external mark that identified them with the people of God. What is our mark? I don't know. We love God. We love our country, to follow back there. Does anybody love our country? What does that mean? See, my point isn't to solve this. My point is to expose this. If we can expose this, then we realize, oof, what was I saying? When you go, the church is just as bad as everywhere else. Well, no kidding. We didn't strip down the culture stuff when we walked in the door. How do you change somebody's DNA? Oh, you can't. God can. Well, let's just, come on, can we all pray together then until this stops? Well, I don't know. I don't think that's enough. Okay, well, you tell me what else we should do. Could we look at God's word? Well, I don't want to hear your opinion. Well, I don't want to hear your opinion. You know where this is going. See, there's going to have to be a lot of humility. Dave, what are you thinking? Right. To the image of his son.
We read over that, but then in reality, all of us, when you say the word conformity, I think most of us go like, dude.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not going to conform to anything that I don't really agree with, and it doesn't make me feel good.
There.
And it's not good for the son.
Right.
To embrace conformity in the right context.
Okay. So. The Bible is going to value conformity, but it's different. We're going to go through these terms. I can't go through every one of them. You draw the parallels, but we're going to talk about glory of God. We're going to say that. See, even while we say, let's our children shouldn't hear this about sexuality. See, that's what I've been wrestling for a long time. Where the youth are, that's telling you a lot of what the culture is teaching, because they're sponges, right? So they pick it up. It's not should they watch it or not. It's eventually whether you let your kid do it or not, some other kid is going to do it. Some other kid, you really want to control, you think you're going to be able to keep them away from all of this? Then whatever they're responding, there you got a thing of where the culture is heading. It doesn't mean they're right. You go, well, they're immature. Well, they're naughty. Okay, but it's a different kind of naughty. And the seeds that are driving that naughty, there's always been people doing their own thing. But the seeds that drive that are going to flourish, and you won't be able to stop it unless you get to the root. And here we're seeing, this is why you sing Onward Christian Soldiers. See, we have a comfortable Christianity. See, I don't want to be known for saying, oh yeah, you want to fight? You want to fight? You want to fight? You want to fight? On the other side, you can't get out of the fight. You want to be a New York City cop? You watch Blue Bloods, you go, yeah, that's good. On the other side, you can't watch something like that and say it's without conflict. Conflict is everywhere. It's where are you going with the conflict? And if your one thing is, I can't handle conflict, humble yourself and say that, and then say, Lord, prepare me. Now do you understand why it's called the armor of God? It isn't so you go beat the snot out of everybody else. It's so that you remember whose you are and what safety looks like, what care looks like, what peace looks like. It's his peace, his care, his timing. Jonathan. Ceiling on here. Do you know what I mean when I'm saying a ceiling on truth? No ceiling. But God. With truth. See, when everybody goes, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know, everybody agrees on that, but here's what I do know. If I don't agree with what you're saying, you and I are going to pull apart. Why? Because there's a ceiling. You say, remember, whatever somebody goes, obviously. And then we run around. Remember I told you that I think I learned this from my dad. I think he talked about this. Like in the, I don't know where I think he said he went into New York City and watched the people playing the guitars and the, yeah, all right? Yeah, Greenwich Village, right? There you go. All right, I remember growing up, malls. Remember the malls when there used to be a mall? Remember when everybody used to go to the mall? Okay, but I remember just sitting in the middle, and you get snippets of people's conversations as they walk by, right? Just snippets. I like that. You go, you're stalking, you're creepy. I don't care whether they were guy, girl, old, young. I don't care. You just catch a snippet. It was amazing to me as to listen to how much, you know, they're trying to convince somebody on their phone or wherever about something that they're right about, that somebody else isn't right, and I had a hard day because of what? When, if truth is subjective, it means then the best lawyers then win, and if, forget, you're not, well then you're done with that. That, it's like, so, but what that's saying, when you say truth is subjective, and you get to determine it, then there's a ceiling on the truth. I'm saying our ceiling is too low. It isn't that truth doesn't matter, it's that, okay, remember, what if we're looking through a pinprick of God's world? And then he opens it up. Back to what I think it was Sandy that said there before. If our focus is on God, it expands and it will put those anxieties back into perspective. It doesn't take them away. All of a sudden you realize that was this. That's God's world. Then you go, okay, I can breathe again, right? So with God, there's no ceiling but God. God is the determiner. Where was it, Vanya? There. To keep that identity fulfilling. Regardless. Right. So the big question comes down to be, what is the mission? Right? That's where we went back to. You said, well, what's appropriate talk about sex, right? Appropriate talk about sex. And we go, wait, sex has been there since we've been created. Well, then it belongs. Well, you shouldn't be saying that. You shouldn't be we shouldn't be doing that. Shouldn't be doing what? Sex isn't to be our primary identity. It's part of our identity. You say, well, we're there to procreate. Okay, but now we're very opinionated about how many children, who has children, when you have children, what if I can't have children, right? Well, that wasn't supposed to be our identity. We were supposed to be part of a whole that together we would procreate. Not with each other, but that's why there was boundaries for all that. Back to then mission, discipline, obedience, character, cut your hair, you know, are all the same, okay? Anything that would distinguish you apart so that you would keep that identity. Back to what you said about the military. Keep the military. Why? Why? They didn't care about your hair. They cared about you weren't going to determine reality. You needed to do what the team was doing, right? It wasn't about your hair. Okay? So we need, here, it's all about who determines the mission. Okay? All right. So regardless of the circumstance, you keep going. Was there another thought? We're done? Okay. So therefore, can you talk just a little bit more about, as you look at that list on the left, what do you think God is more concerned about? All these things have a place. We could talk endlessly, but it's easy to talk about culture because we're very focused on those things. We have strong opinions and we're part of our culture. I think of that if we went to China, there, some of these things would be relevant, but there would be a whole bunch of other things that would be relevant to us if we were in China, Australia, Africa, Okay? So what do you think is more important in God's kingdom? God's kingdom is going to talk more about things like... Jonathan.
I think what a lot of these come down to is if they're giving glory to God, if they're giving glory to man.
Okay. So, and maybe I needed a third column. We're not going to do that. I didn't. No, but meaning, what are the main questions here? Because on the biblical side, glory to God, okay, a God. And I guess what we want to say there is when he said glory to God or glory to man, that the line between them determines the conflict. As soon as you determine we're not giving glory to God at all, then all of a sudden Christians are saying, I have to be suspicious. I have to be cautious, right? I have to be careful. I'm on enemy territory. This territory doesn't give glory to God. That's what I said. Do I watch more than I should? Yes. But I'm convinced that throwing out the TV won't fix it. We're still impacted by it. I want to be more cautious as I watch. What am I not seeing? This is what I'm seeing. This is what winds me up, but what am I not seeing? All right? Glory to God, glory to man. John Mark. See, that's what I was saying, is we can't, unless we strip culture down a little bit, we have a hard time disciplining, okay? But the fact that churches talk about discipline but can never pull it off, right? I've never seen a kid doing a tantrum in a public place that somebody doesn't think it's a problem. The question is, I told you, one old lady as a cashier saw something going on and had no problem telling the next customer everything she thought about it. The next customer didn't necessarily agree, so just kept staring straight ahead. And the lady didn't get the cues. She just kept going on parents these days. It's not the kid's fault. It's the parents. You could just... All right. So I'm at Andrew's baseball game, right? 9 years old. Okay? My kid's not in here. I'm sure you're going to tell him I love my kid. He strikes out all the time. Okay, my fault, fine, whatever. Hope he has a future and his life is bigger than baseball. Okay, we're heading in the right direction. Now he strikes out swinging instead of strikes out looking. That's heading in the right direction. Okay, well, here's the deal. We come up to the playoff game, right? All right, I'm sitting in the bleachers behind home plate, all right? And it's getting hot, all right? Because there's an iffy call. There's one umpire, not two, all right? Happened out at second base. He runs out there. While that's happening, something's happened behind him, all right? The parents flip out, all right? One of our coaches comes in and tells, as one of the other team's parents says something, one of our coaches comes by and goes, why don't you take that hot dog and stuff it in your mouth? Now what do you do? All right, but see, that's the most extreme. And the umpire goes and does that. It's just kids, guys. We're just here to have fun, right? He comes around doing that number, right? And I'm just thinking, how much are we giving this guy? Good job, right? Okay, but here's what's funny. I had enough, right? Confrontational John David. It was getting a little hot back there. I went and sat down at the end. I get down to the end where all the other guys are on their chairs, right? Down the first baseline. I said, yeah, another vantage point. He goes, I would never sit back there. It's too hot. Okay, well, here's what happens. The farther the game goes, whole piles of people were coming down the line. You know what was funny? It wasn't all the people that agreed with that one or that one. It was the people that disagreed with me or the other one all around. So they've just brought the fight over there. Because I was looking. Everybody was disgusted. And then I listen and they go, can you believe... they were so hard on that kid because he didn't catch that ball. And over here, the people's, that kid needs to learn the hard lessons. He missed the ball. So, okay, he'll get over the tears. Well, see, both sides got down the first baseline because both sides were saying, conflict is ridiculous. Okay? Who are we defending? Your kid? Me? or God's name? God's name. See, when we get emotional, we're telling something. If you come as a Christian, if you are a Christian, you're telling what you believe about God. Because you're showing, either other than that, you say, forgive me, great one, because I've sought my own honor instead of yours. Other than that, if you feel justified, you're saying, this is what God gets upset about, and I only cared for him. Any last one? Where was it? Sandy, Nicole, Jonathan, I'm just going to listen. You are going to have to figure out how to define this word because it can't go away. God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. Nicole?
I heard that. Impressed to comfort.
I agree.
It's not that we're not supposed to suffer, but we see the value in suffering. There is a purpose to suffering. It's not just to get out of it and be comfortable again. There is a reason that it happens.
Jonathan? So you go to Cuba, right? Where are you going to see the nice, the food, the nice whatever? It's the people that are supporting the government, right? The people that are on good with them. Then all these resources, all these opportunities, right? See, we got to sit here instead of going, that's corrupt. God is demanding what all these guys are demanding because he is holy. He is worthy, right? Revelation says he's worthy. Therefore, everything you get comes when you are under God. Whether you die, we live for the Lord. Whether we die for the Lord. Here, we got to stop. Listen. Oh, Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Psalm 131. Father, would you help? I don't know how these people do. Maybe some are bored, some don't follow. Maybe some are like me, and these things push buttons inside of us. Buttons. Help it to drive us back underneath a holy God. Not a rabbit's foot. Not the golden calf that we're going to show this next week here. Something that can be seen and controlled. But one under who your word is final. Your word is good. Your word is true. The mission. All these commands. All these things like we were saying here. They're all subsets of you. They're under you. They're for you. Would you work in us, Father? Maybe the humility to first realize how big the problem is and that it's in us. Would you change us as well as help us not to be quiet on things that maybe are right in your world? But would you tune our hearts to sing your grace? In Jesus' name, amen.